Amen. Thank you guys so much, worship team, for leading us in song. Welcome, guys, to Summer Shoreline. If we have never met before, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I'm so glad that you decided to join us tonight. As Will started us off last week, we are going to be walking through the book of Philippians over this entire summer. And we hope that at the end of this summer, when you look back on where you were in your relationship with God at the beginning, and where you look back on, you know, let's say on September 1st, you look back on your life and where you have grown and how you've grown to know who God is more and love who God is and follow him even deeper and closer. We hope that this journey through Philippians helps you to do that. Okay, so to set up where we're going, we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight in Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 30. And by way of quick recap, for those of you who may not have been here last week, the Apostle Paul writes this letter to a group of Christians in Philippi, which is in modern-day Turkey, okay? And it is the happiest letter in the New Testament. And why is it the happiest letter in the New Testament? Because of the Apostle Paul's source of joy. He found it in Jesus. And in the midst of circumstances that were the furthest thing from happy, he was literally chained between two guards, awaiting trial and a potential execution just for being a follower of Jesus. And in that context, he's writing the happiest letter to these group of believers. Okay, so that's where we find ourselves in the story before we jump into Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. I want to set up where we're going by telling you a story. Every time we go off for Hideaway, our fall retreat, and really any of our retreats, we meet with all of our leaders a week or two before to, you know, kind of cast vision for the weekend, equip our leaders, and make sure everyone's all on the same page to take care of all of you crazy people for an entire weekend, right? And so this last Hideaway, so last September, I had just finished leading our leader meeting in one of the rooms here in the West Tower, and I was leaving. And I had my son in one arm, a backpack on my back, his backpack over this arm, and I had my laptop in my hand. So I was juggling a whole bunch of stuff. And one of the leaders was going to get a ride with me to one of his friend's houses. So I go out to my car out there in the parking lot, and I put the laptop on top of my my car, okay? Put it up there. Of course, I'm going to get it later after I put my son in and put my backpack in the car and, you know, get everything all situated. I get in the car. You know, my friend gets in the car and we drive away on 635. I drop him off at his house. And as I pull up to my house, I'm like, where's my laptop? Where is my laptop? I had no idea. But thank God there's an incredible technology developed called Find My. And so I look on Find My to find out where my laptop is. And as I'm zooming in, the location is saying it's literally on 635. And so I'm like, oh no, my laptop is in the middle of the highway. It's been run over numerous times by every car. And so I FaceTimed someone that I thought was still here at the church. And he was, and he FaceTimed me. I was like, dude, it's showing that it's on 635. Can you please go look and see if you find it? And he's looking everywhere, and he can't find it. And then out of the corner of his eye, he sees it on the curb of the grass in the highway, just like dangling right there. It had not fallen in the road, but when I swerved out of, you know, the Watermark parking lot, it had slipped off of the top of my car and was just laying there on the side of the road in its case, and it had not been crushed. And it is so crazy that that happened, first of all, but the reason I share you that story is because I needed help remembering something really, really important. I needed help knowing where my laptop was. And so I used this technology that gave me assistance. And you can all relate to that maybe in some way, right? We can all use help remembering the important things. We can all use help remembering the important things. things. That's why some of you guys have an AirTag with you right now. Show me your AirTag if you got one. I know we got some AirTag people in the room. There we go. You didn't just happen to get it. Your dad or your mom or whoever was like, you lose your keys too much. We are making sure we know where it is at all times, right? We have AirTags. We have calendars. We have reminders on our phone, alarms, all of these different things because we don't want to forget really important things. And we can all use some help remembering important things. And so, just like we need help remembering important things in regular life, the Apostle Paul, what we're going to see from him tonight is that we need reminders, help remembering some of the most important spiritual truths that'll help impact and transform our lives. So, if you have your Bible, like I said, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read through verses 18 through 30 over the next few moments. And what we're going to see is the Apostle Paul sharing with us four reminders that produce joy when times are tough. We're going to see in these verses four reminders that produce joy when times are tough. Before we keep going, here's what I want to say. I know you've probably heard before, maybe, the difference between happiness and joy, that happiness is, you know, worldly, or it's temporal, or it's in circumstances, and joy is only found in what's eternal and permanent. And really, when you look at the dictionary definition of both words, they're synonyms of each other. And when you look at scripture, there is no really distinction where someone is experiencing happiness and someone is experiencing joy, and those are two separate experiences. In life, in God's word, and in the dictionary, joy and happiness really are interchangeable in so many ways. And so it's not unchristian for you to want to be happy. You were made to want to be happy. Because God created you with that emotion or with that desire. The challenge comes in where we find our happiness or where we find our joy. Does that make sense? So we're going to look at four reminders that'll produce joy when we're in difficult situations. And I don't just mean like big drama, heavy, burdensome situations, although I realize that some of you might be experiencing something like that right now. But I do just mean just even the regular of life, the hardships that we experience on a day-to-day basis, the Apostle Paul has something to say about every one of them, okay? So here's the first reminder. If you're taking notes, it's this. The prayers, your people's prayers are powerful. This is the first reminder. If you want to experience joy and happiness, like truly feeling that emotion of contentment and enjoyment, even though your circumstances are challenging and difficult, the first reminder you need to remember and reflect on often is that your people's prayers are powerful. So look with me at verse 18 and 19. Your people's prayers are powerful. Here's what he says. And I will continue to rejoice. Remember, he's in prison. He's locked up. He's about to be on trial and will probably die. But he says, I will continue to rejoice. Why? For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. So the Apostle Paul is making the point that these Christians in the Philippian church are praying for him and that their prayers are powerful. Their prayers will influence his lived experience, if that makes sense. Their prayers are contributing to him experiencing deliverance, maybe from his bondage and from a guilty verdict on this side of heaven. But for sure, their prayers are helping the Apostle Paul to experience ultimate deliverance when he stands before God one day. And so the prayers of the Apostle Paul's people are powerful. And the same is true for you. Because here's the thing about prayer. Prayer actually works. And maybe as I say that, you might go, I don't know. I've prayed for things sometimes and it hasn't come through. and God hasn't come through for me in that situation. And I get that. And to respond to you, I go, man, it is very important to understand that God isn't a genie that we just go to and ask for our wishes, and he's like, done, you got it, every single time. He's not a genie, but he is a good father. And you know what good fathers do? They give good gifts to their children. And sometimes a good gift may be to refrain from giving you something that you think you really, really want. And I've just been learning a ton about that in recent times, having a 2-year-old son. He thinks some things are really valuable and really wants them, but I know better. And so in some ways, I just want you to understand that in those moments where you think of, man, God doesn't answer my prayers. Man, he's not a genie, but he is a good father. One funny example of the Lord answering my prayers that I wanted to share with you to kind of illustrate this point even further. A couple years ago, I was in Oklahoma City with my friend David Peniel. Some of you know him. And we were visiting a friend, and we were like, hey, let's go to an Oklahoma City Thunder game. We looked online. There was a game, but there was no tickets available. So we said, let's just go. Let's just show up at the stadium and see if we get some tickets. And I remember as we were on our way to the game, we were literally walking down the street and praying, Lord, would you please provide us with some cheap, affordable tickets? Like repeatedly, we prayed that. And then I have a picture here of what happened when we walked inside. We walk inside the auditorium, and there's this random guy, this guy we took a picture with. He's just standing on the side. And then he like looks at us, and he walks straight up to us, and he goes, do you guys need tickets? And we're like, yes. And he turned out to be a recruiter for the San Antonio Spurs, and he was at the game, and they usually have multiple tickets that they can give away. And so he was like, you guys can have my tickets. And so then we got to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder play the Chicago Bulls. And I don't share that story to make you go, man, God is always going to say yes to your prayers. But I share that story to make you understand that it doesn't have to be this big, crazy prayer for you to go before the throne of grace. Like, God cares about the tiny details and things that you care about in your life that you might not even think are that big of a deal. Does that make sense? He still wants to hear from you because he's a good father and because prayer moves his heart. A definition of prayer that I think is really helpful is this. Prayer is a conversation with our Father where we display our dependence and we ask for change. Prayer is a conversation with our Father, the God in heaven, where we display our dependence. God, we need you. Without you, we can't do this. And we ask him to move and to change. So, if your people's prayers are powerful, and Paul had his people, and they were praying for him while he was in prison, about to go to trial and potentially be martyred for his faith, here's my question for you. Do you have people, and do you have people that pray for you? Like, if you were going through something right now in your life, big or small, that you wanted to bring before God and ask him to help, to intervene, to make a change, are there people that you could text? Are there people that you could go over to their house and say, will you join me in praying for this situation? If your answer to that is no, man, I hope that over this summer, you get that group of people. Whether it's people in your small group or us on the Shoreline team or the interns, helping you to have a place, some people that you can go to that can go before God on your behalf. Because when times are tough, you need people and you need their prayers. And it's amazing how much you get a sense of joy when you pray for someone else. Like just the other week, our entire community group, my wife and I's group, we spent an hour just praying for each other, for our marriages, for our kids, for the challenges we were experiencing. And at the end of the time, we literally were happier, like in terms of our headspace and our heart and our perspective, because we had spent intentional time praying for each other. When was the last time you stopped and not just said a quick prayer before a meal or when you woke up in the morning, but intentionally sat down and went before God on the behalf of your people? Your people's prayers are powerful. So find your people. Number two, the second reminder that provides joy when times are tough is that the Holy Spirit is here to help. The Holy Spirit is here to help. And we see that idea in those very same verses, verses 18 and 19. So again, the Apostle Paul says, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, and what? And the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. And so there's a two-parter, right? On one hand, his people are praying for him, and on the other hand, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is helping him. And both of those things combined will lead to his deliverance, both in this life and in the one to come. And I just love that idea that for every single one of us who is a follower of Jesus, who has placed our faith and trust in him, we are never alone. No matter how lonely you might feel, no matter how desperate the situation might be, no matter how helpless you might feel, like all hope is lost, the crazy thing is that the God of the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit indwells every single one of us who is a follower of Jesus, and he is there to help. Literally, when I was reading through these verses and thinking about this idea that the Holy Spirit is here to help, what came to my mind was the Avengers. I know it's a random right turn, but specifically at the end of Avengers Endgame, there's the big scene where Captain America and Iron Man are battling Thanos, and they are getting beat down. There's no hope of them being victorious over this powerful enemy. And in their moment when they're most discouraged, when they're most downcast, help comes on the way. If you've seen it, and you can even think of the symphonic music that's playing in the background as all these heroes are coming from all sorts of dimensions or wherever they are, and they're all coming to help in this battle, to fight with them. And then ultimately they're victorious. Obviously, if you've seen Avengers Endgame, if you haven't, sorry, it's the time of being a spoiler is long gone. But I just love that picture of help coming on the way. And you kind of look at that and you think confidence. You think, man, there's no way they're going to be beat now. They have so much reinforcements. And I think in a much more significant way than that, whatever you're going through right now, God's Holy Spirit is available and his power is available. The God of the universe is with you. Wherever you are, however you're experiencing challenges in life right now, the God of the universe is here to help. And the question for you is, are you looking to him for help? Truly, are you looking to him for help, or are you trying to figure it out on your own? Are you trying to control things? Are you trying to figure out, hey, if I just do this, if I just say that, if I just position myself here, if I just have these friends, if I just have these circumstances in my life, then this will all be figured out? Are you trying to figure it out on your own, or are you looking to the God of the universe who is there to help? That reminder will bring you joy, will bring you happiness in the midst of the tough times that you experience. Number three, the third reminder that helps us, provides us with joy when times are tough, is that whatever happens, Christ is magnified. Whatever happens, Christ is magnified. Look with me at verses 20 through 26, and we'll see the Apostle Paul just making that exact point. Whether I stay in prison, whether I'm freed, whether I'm martyred for my faith, whatever happens, Christ is magnified. And before we look at those verses, this is a magnifying glass, right? And what does a magnifying glass do? You've used it in your fourth grade science class or whatever, when you're looking at the Beatles or whatever your project was. A magnifying glass enlarges something that seems small, or it gives you a closer look
It enlarges something to make you see it more clearly. And the Apostle Paul is saying that whatever happens in my life, whatever the outcome of my tough times, the end result is always, always, always that Christ is magnified, that Christ is made much of, that people see Christ in a new way, that people understand him more than they did before that difficult moment. Whatever happens, Christ is magnified. Look at what he says in verses 20 through 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Some of you probably have a translation where it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that Christ is the focus and the emphasis of his life, no matter what happens. If he dies in a prison cell, Christ is his center. If he is freed from prison, Christ is his center. If he's martyred for his faith, Christ is his center. If he's freed to go continue planting churches and sharing the gospel, Christ is his center. He finds all his meaning, all his hope, all his purpose in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He finds all his meaning in Christ. Verse 22 says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. He's like, if I die, I get to be in the presence of Jesus and see him face to face, where there's no more sin, no more brokenness, no more pain. And so that's incredible. But if I keep living, man, I live for Christ. I long to go and be with Christ, he goes on, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Again, his focus is to magnify Christ while he lived. So my question for you is, what's the focus of your life? Whether you live, whether you die, whatever hardships you might be going through, the highs or the lows, what's the focus of your life? Far too often, what we magnify isn't Christ. We magnify our looks, like that's the most important thing. We magnify our social media. We magnify our dating relationships. We magnify our summer plans. We magnify our social standing. And the thing is that any of those things may give us some sense of joy, some sense of happiness, but they'll pale in comparison to the joy and happiness that is found and rooted in Jesus. Verse 25 and verse 26. He says, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. I want you to underline that phrase maybe in your Bible or on your phone, where he says in verse 26, at the end of verse 25, so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. His goal in life, as long as he lived, which is Christ, was to help other people grow in the joy of their faith. So question maybe for you and I to consider is, man, am I experiencing the joy of my faith? Do I experience happiness resulting from a life that is devoted to following Jesus? That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, that he wants to help the people that he knew and loved to experience the joy of their faith. And I want the same thing for every single one of you, that you'd experience the joy of your faith. And the way you do that is by understanding and really believing that truth, that whatever happens, whatever the outcome of your experiences, Christ is magnified. And that's, it's the best news, guys. The best news is for Christ to be magnified, because when Christ is magnified, guess what happens? Our joy is maximized. So when you magnify Christ is our fourth point, our fourth reminder that provides joy in when times are tough, is that magnifying Christ maximizes our joy. Magnifying Christ maximizes our joy. Look with me at verses 27 through 30 as we wrap up. The Apostle Paul says this, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come to you and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." I just love that imagery. He's saying, if your life magnifies Christ, if your life makes much of Christ, here's what will be true. The news of your life will spread from your friend group, maybe to your family, to your classmates, to the people that you come in contact with, and they will see and understand that Christ is the source of the joy and the happiness that you experience, that Christ changes the way you live, Christ changes the way you think. And he says at the end of that in verse 28, "Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies." If you stand firm with Christ, if you magnify him, your joy will be maximized and you will stand as an example to those who may oppose Christianity, who may oppose your faith, who may ridicule you for what you believe and how you follow Jesus. He says that you magnifying Christ will be a testimony to them. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies, and this will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. Verse 29 says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." And I love this phrase in verse 30 as we wrap. We are in this struggle together. We are in this struggle together. And so as you magnify Christ, you maximize your joy. Every moment that you stop and pray for someone or pray about something that's going on in your life or the lives of those around you, you magnify Christ. Every moment you spend reading God's word to understand more of who he is and to learn how to follow him, you magnify Christ. Every moment you choose to do what God's word says, you magnify Christ. Every moment you share the gospel, telling a family member, a friend, a teammate about how Christ has made a difference and changed your life now and for eternity, you magnify Christ. Every moment you go through hard times and remain determined to follow Jesus, you magnify Christ. Do you know that there's so many people that have claimed to be followers of Jesus, and then they've gone through difficulties in their life, and they're like, you know what? I'm out. This Christianity thing isn't for me, because I placed my faith in Jesus, and a bunch of bad stuff happened to me. And honestly, that just reveals the truth about their heart, that they were in a relationship with Jesus for what they could get versus being in a relationship with Jesus to magnify Christ, to make him known all across the earth. So you want to be a happier person? Truly, you want to be happier? I think every one of us does. Run to Jesus. He literally is the true source of joy and happiness. Yes, you can find happiness in so many places in our world. You really can. But if you stop at those things and don't go to their source, which is Jesus, you're missing it. You were created to experience the joy that can be found in him. So those are the reminders from the Apostle Paul that we can reflect on. As we wrap up, we can all use some help remembering the important things, right? More important than a laptop, more important than anything else that you might lose, are these spiritual truths. We can all use some help remembering the important things. So here they are again, one last time, so you can reflect on them. Your people's prayers are powerful. Do you have people? And are those people actively, regularly praying for you because you've asked them to pray about your needs or the things that you're going through in your life? The Holy Spirit is here to help whatever you might be walking through right now. And whatever happens, good or bad, continuing to live or passing to the life to come, Christ is made much of. He is magnified. And when you magnify Christ with your life, you maximize your own joy. You are truly happier. And I know you want to be happier. And the key to that is running to Jesus, the only place where we find hope. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you so much for these students, and thank you so much for Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 30. And thank you for the helpful reminders that provide joy when times are tough. And I pray for students in this room that might be experiencing some tough times right now, even as I speak, maybe getting a text message or reflecting on a conversation that they had or some bad news that they just got. Whatever it is, God, as they're experiencing hard times, may they experience your joy and be happier because of you, because you are the true and ultimate source of joy and happiness. I pray that these students would surround themselves with community that prays for them, that they would avail themselves to the Holy Spirit that's there to help, that they would realize that whatever happens, Christ is magnified for those who are followers of Jesus, and that they would know that as they magnify you, that their joy is maximized in this life. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.